Welcome back to the Positive Gains Podcast. Today, my two special guests, Jesse Garcia. He is the youth pastor at the Way Arizona campus. And I also have Joseph Ibarra, who is the youth director at the same campus, the Way Arizona. Hey, how you guys doing today?
I'm doing good, feeling blessed. Thank you for having us on your podcast. I mean, I know it's going to be a great podcast. Heard so much about the mic gains and finally being able to hop on one of these, and it's just going to be awesome. We're doing great today.
Yeah, we're doing great.
Glad to hear it, guys. Glad to hear it. So for those of you that don't know, you know, the Way, it's a church, and they've branched out here in a little tiny town of Safford, Arizona. Okay. They've kind of helped rebrand the Victory Theater, for those of you that are aware of that. And they're doing a lot of great things in the community, helping tons of people, from prayer to, you know, even helping a little bit with food and finances. And then, you know, the youth ministry, why we're here today, so many good things happening. I know we'll talk about the youth conference and stuff like that, but I would encourage, you know, anybody, if, you know, you don't have somewhere to go or you're just maybe passing through town, go check it out. That's my two cents on the Way. And obviously there's a whole lot more, but, you know, like I said, we'll get into it. For you guys, how did you guys get involved in that particular ministry?
Joseph, I'll let you go first, bro.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I think I would go first too, because like mine's is just a little shorter because I'm still kind of like new into the ministry as well. Joseph, right? I'm 21 years old. I got married in 2021, saved in 2021, and involved in the youth ministry in 2021. So it's kind of crazy, like all in the same year, saved, married, and involved in the ministry. Really, the way I got involved in the ministry was my wife, Sarah. So my amazing wife, Sarah, she was involved in the ministry as growing up, being a youth. And she just has the heart just to serve for the youth ministry. And when I got plugged into the church at the Way, God just gave me a heart for the youth, because I know myself growing up as a youth, I wasn't plugged into the church. I wasn't involved in the ministry. I didn't have nothing to do with God. I didn't have a relationship with God. And to a point where I had repented, turned away from sin, and I got plugged into the church. I got plugged into, you know, being a disciple of Jesus, you know, following Jesus, having a relationship with him. But the way I got plugged into the ministry was through my wife. We met our amazing, amazing pastors, Pastor Bryant and Pastor Diana from our California campus. I just got plugged straight into them. So my wife already knew Pastor Diana. My wife already knew Pastor Bryant. So this was, for me, was brand new. I was like, man, like, I don't know really how to do this. I don't know how to navigate through this. There's so many challenges of being a first off, you know, having a relationship with Jesus. You know, we have resistance in that. Being plugged into a ministry, the challenges of learning how to be a leader, because I was already a leader, but now learning how to be a godly example, godly leader. So there was just so many challenges in that, but it was really through my wife. So my wife, you know, again, like I said, you know, she was already plugged into the ministry. So I got plugged into the ministry. I started serving in our youth in the Hallmark campus in California. I was one of the high school directors. So I just got plugged into the youth ministry. And through time, you know, Pastor Bryant was like, okay, Joseph, like, what do you and your wife, do you guys want to be one of the youth directors? And at first I didn't understand what that meant. I didn't understand the responsibility, what it meant, but through that course of time, okay, I started to understand, okay, this is what it took. It took, you know, taking action, being an example, right? Being a leader, being someone who wants to be followed underneath, right? If that makes sense. But just through the course of time, with all those challenges that I faced of learning how to be a leader, and, you know, God gave me the grace to be able to be one of the youth directors at the Hallmark campus. So I spent a year and a half there. So just after we had our youth conference, I don't know if you can see my shirt, but we had our youth conference over there last year. After our youth conference was over, you know, God tugged at me and my wife's heart to come check out the Way Safford, Arizona. So Pastor Robert had called us. We got plugged in with Pastor Robert. It was the most craziest thing in the world. So our pastor, Pastor Bryant, I'm going to backtrack just a little bit. So Pastor Bryant had asked us, you know, like, Joseph, Sarah, like, what do you guys think about, you know, going to Arizona? And at first it wasn't on our minds. It wasn't on our hearts. But when it was introduced to us, the first thing that came to my mind was just like, help us pack and we'll go. Like, help us. And we'll just go over there. It doesn't matter what it takes. Like, we'll go. So, we ended up flying out here with Pastor Robert, and we checked out the church that was over here, the church/theater, right? We checked out the area. We helped out with the Dr. Block. And we're literally staying at the hotel across the street. And I remember just this night when it was basically our last night being here. And I look out the window and I seen the building, and I looked at my wife. I said, Sarah, like, I really believe like we should just commit. Right. We had a lot of stuff in California, you know, our jobs, you know, our careers almost, you know, I was making a lot of money. My wife was making a lot of money and, you know, everything was almost established. But I felt in my heart, like, let's just commit to do this. You know, let's say yes to this. Like, let's leave that stuff in California and come into a new place where we see the hurt, where we see the brokenness, where we see where we could help and pour into these people that are out here. And so God opened the doors for everything. So we ended up leaving our apartment. You know, we got blessed out of the ministry in California, and we got blessed into the Way Safford, Arizona. And so that's just a little bit of background about me and my wife. But Jesse, I don't know if you want to go ahead and hop into a little bit of yours.
So for myself, I've actually been a part of the youth ministry since 2012. So I grew up as a teenager in this ministry. I grew up as I'm still a young adult in this ministry. But in 2012 is when I first came to the Way World Outreach, just in general. And I was just a shy, timid kid. And I'm going in, and my youth leaders, Pastor Gabriel, he said one thing to me, and he's like, you're going to do great things as long as you follow God. And that stuck to me, because during that time, my family was going through some issues and some personal stuff. And it was hard, like, didn't have the belief in my own father to do something, but a leader at a church believed in me, not knowing who I was. So something stirred in me, like, I want to be that. I want to be that leader that impacts teenagers in the future. I want to do something that's going to impact this generation. So I'm going to church, and years go by. I go through high school, and as a leader, and my senior year in high school, this is when I'm, you could say, 50-50. I'm 50-50, 50 for God, 50 for the world. But again, Pastor Gabriel, he's seen me at the getting blessed out of high school graduation ceremony. And he's like, hey, you remember me? I'm like, yeah. There was another guy named Eric. He's like, you remember him? I'm like, not really. Like, I didn't really know him. But we ended up all taking pictures. He's like, you should come to these pastor trainings I have on Tuesday nights. And I looked at him, like, in my head, I'm like, bro, like, I have a whole girlfriend at school. Like, I'm not qualified to go to pastor trainings. Like, I don't know. And he's like, you should go. But again, he was the first person that believed in me. So for him to see me and invite me to a pastoral training, not knowing what I've been doing, I'm like, all right, I'll show up. I showed up, and immediate, I was just like in a place of, oh, this is where I need to be. I need to stop playing the world. I need to stop doing what the world wants. I need to just get into this relationship with God. So immediately right after that first meeting, I broke up with my girlfriend. I broke up with all my worldly and secular friends. I'm like, I want to go all in for God. So I start going to these pastoral trainings over and over. And that year, he's like, all right, Jesse, you're going to be a youth leader at camp. Like, you're going to lead your whole troop. If it's 50 teens, you're going to lead them all. And I'm looking at this, bro, what? I just came back. Like, I'm finally full standing for God, and you want me to be a leader? Yeah, bro, you're going to be a troop leader. You're going to lead 50 teens and 15 adults on this team. If that was the case, I'm like, all right, like, my first year doing so. So I'm nervous. I'm like, I've never led this big of a group before. But I understood this is all part of God's plan. So I'm like, all right, well, dude, we go to camp, and this is the first camp I've been to where I've experienced deliverances. I've experienced praying and seeing people actually get healed. I've experienced people actually getting set free. So I'm like, another fire stirred in me. It's the fire that I felt in 2012 where he believed in me, but now God believed in me where he's giving me these gifts that I could actually apply and use it to glorify God. Setting kids free, setting teenagers free, handling and casting out demons and healing people in the name of Jesus. I'm like, oh, this is something I want to do forever. It's not just something I want to do now, forever. So graduate high school, finally in a young adult. I see this. I'm part of the youth ministry, and I go and I'm assisting to middle school ministry now. I'm in there. I'm no longer a teenager. I'm an assistant to middle school ministry. Time goes by, but I'm just putting in the work. I'm helping my leader, putting in the work, submitting to my leader, but I'm doing a lot of the work. Again, Pastor Gabriel comes, he sits me and the head leader down. He's like, all right, Jesse, do you want to be the leader of middle school? And I look over to the leader. He's like, no. I'm looking at you. Do you want to take over middle school ministry? I'm like, oh, man, like, what do I say? Like, yeah, I want to take over. Like, I have a heart for middle school. So I'm like, all right. He's like, because your leader just wants to focus on worship. Like, your heart is for middle school. His heart's for worship. So I'm like, all right, cool. He's like, all right, we'll make this transition happen. You lead middle school ministry. So me and my wife now, she wasn't my wife then, but me and my wife now, we were building this middle school ministry. It went from about 15 kids at 9 a.m. service to about 30 to 35 kids at 9 a.m. And then again, from 20, 25 kids at 11 a.m. to 60 kids at 11 a.m. And that was just God using us to build the ministry. It wasn't anything specific. Oh, Jesse, what did you do? It was just allowing ourselves to be used by God and just build relationships with the kids. So I'm like, I love this. Like, I love the feeling of build. And then time goes by. It's 2021. Joseph and Sarah just get married at this big old mass wedding. And they come and then you have two new faces and we meet Joseph and Sarah. And they're here for like 2 weeks. And then Pastor Brian's like, what do you think about Joseph and Sarah? I'm like, oh, they're great. All right, we're going to make them high school directors now. They're going to be in charge of a service. I'm like, okay, cool. Time goes by. We're sending Joseph and Sarah off to AZ. I'm like, wait, what? Like, they just got here. Like, it's been a year. They're heading to AZ. I'm like, all right, because it's been talking. I'm telling my wife now, but wasn't my wife then still. I'm like, I want to go to AZ. I have a heart for it. But I wasn't married. I wasn't dating. It was a single man that was ready to go. But God was like, be patient. Wait, my word of the year was patience. Patience and pursuit. I'm like, all right, I'm waiting. I'm chilling. They take off. Year 2022, last year. We go, middle school ministries built. I transition out of it. I'm now the youth pastor's assistant. I'm assisting him. My wife's assisting his wife. But at the time, again, it was me and my wife just started dating. Everything happened in 2022. That's when God just jumped us up levels. So 2022 came. Me and my wife were talking. We start dating in 2022. 2 months go by. We get engaged. 2 months later, we make a wedding. In 2 months, we get married. During that process, our idea is get married, go to AZ. Comes November. We get married November 5th, go on our two-week honeymoon, come back, shift off to AZ. We didn't wait in California. We didn't stay in California. We shipped straight off to AZ. I moved out here a month early to see the youth, to check it out, fell in love with them, moved out, found a place for us, got a job. I'm like, all right, we're ready. Let's go. We shipped on over here, and we started moving. God gave me and my wife the word to build the youth ministry. So what we've been doing is building Joseph and Sarah to take over, building these teenagers to take over. If there's no young adults, we're building a generation to take over their community. Because if they're always relying on who's above them or who's older, when those people go away or move away, they're no longer there. We're building teenagers to have the relationship with God, their leadership with God. And when their leader is not around, they could still lead those around them. So now we're in AZ and I'm telling you, it's been going crazy. These teenagers are coming consistently now. We're hitting about 40, 50 averaging now. Before it was what, Joseph, like 12 kids, 20 kids that used to average. Now we're jumping to is an average. Then the big question was conference. There's conference in California. Do we take our teenagers to conference? Or do we have our own conference here? And that's at a later time. But the way we got involved is that my heart is for the teenagers coming to AZ. I see that there was a need. And me and my wife came and we're fulfilling that need by just coming out here. So being the part of the youth ministry has been literally half my life. Because I'm only 23 and I've been here since 2012. So half my life has been youth ministry. But it's been awesome. The journey is still going. It's not even close to the end. It's still going, you know?
And, you know, the impact, you know, like you guys were talking about how it started and especially in this area, there's, like you said, the leaders, right? You're building these kids to take over in the right way. And there's so many of them. There's yeah. just tons and tons of kids. And, you know, that's one thing that I appreciate is because there's consistency.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you guys are, the kids seem to relate more right? Because there's things that maybe you guys have gone through that are similar to the to their situations, and and it's so much more personable when kids can understand that, you know, you've been through it, and even though that that's not where you're at anymore, this is where you can be. Right. So I don't even know if you guys had planned for such a the outpour, right? I don't remember what night I went to go, you know, pick up my son, and there were so many kids outside. Oh, man. I mean,
yeah, there was a lot
all over the front. I stood there and I was just watching for a while because I was like, my gosh, man, that's not even a fraction, right, of the kids that are in this valley. But look how many of them are here.
Right.
So, and when we talk about youth conference, a lot of people have different things when it comes to mine. I remember when I was a kid and my mom said, hey, you're going to go to youth conference. You know, part of me was like, okay, how long is this going to be?
Yeah.
Come down the hours. What time's lunch? You know, what are we doing after? But, you know, she always made it a point to make sure that it was going to be something that was wholesome. Right. And then I always got something out of it. So nowadays you see concerts and you see more younger directors and pastors and again, people that are able to relate. So if you guys would you talk about the youth conference what you're hoping to get out of it?
So youth conference is the same way. I'm talking to my team. I'm like, how are you going to get a teenager that barely wants to go to church, go to a youth conference? Because it's the same thing. Who's going to speak? What's happening? How long is it? Like, I already understand that. So I'm like, all right, what will attract a teenager in the Gila Valley? What will make them want to come? Glow-in-the-dark party, glow-in-the-dark concert. I'm like, that's what's happening. Yes, you're going to have – it's not a motivational speaker. You're going to have your powerful speakers in the house. You're going to have your lead pastor, Pastor Robert. We're going to have Pastor Brian Trujillo coming from California. He's our main youth pastor. Myself and Joseph will be speaking. But that's just a key element. That's just a power tool. These kids want to have fun. We want them to have fun. So what better than to have a glow-in-the-dark party, a glow-in-the-dark concert happening Friday night, the 23rd, June 23rd at Friday at 6 p.m. is when we start, and it's just a concert. It's just going to be a whole concert. We're having our live musicians. We're having musicians come from California play. We're having guest artists. We're having people come and sing just to have a good time with them. It's going to be crazy, and you're just going to have a moment where God's going to interfere. It's called the Freedom Conference, where these teenagers are going to experience freedom. Where we've been asking people lately at our services, like, if you don't have a teenager, sponsor a teenager. It's $25 a ticket. Like, there's kids that want to go but can't pay. Last night at service, we had our guest speaker sponsor 40 teenagers. So if you're a teenager saying, I want to go, but I don't have money, come and sign up. You are already paid for. The first 40 that sign up are paid for. We already have 40 kids signed up. Now there's 40 more that who could come for free. So now that's a total of 80 kids. Our goal is 150, and God's going to exceed that goal. I want to have the problem of, Jesse, there's 200 seats, but we have 250 kids. Like, where are we going to put these other 50 kids? That's the problem I want to have. You know, this Freedom Conference is that what Joseph and I experienced here in the Gila Valley with these teenagers, a lot of them need love. And a lot of them need some freedom from addiction. A lot of them need freedom from depression or broken families. And I relate to that because growing up, my family was broken. You know, my parents were on the verge of divorce. My parents were alcoholics. I had to deal with my dad. Me and my dad fought many times. So I understand I could relate to them. Like you were saying, Mike, like, these kids find someone relatable. And I understand these, a lot of kids fight with their parents. A lot of parents are not even in the household. The kids just walk everywhere and do their own thing. So I relate to that. They need consistency. You know, thankful for people like Joseph, who when he has the time, he takes them out. He hangs out with them. When we don't have time, when we're not working, there's nothing else to do, we hang out with them. You know, they are our first priority when we have free time, you know, because we know that they need a consistent love in their life that is going to help them break free from whatever they've been doing. So this Freedom Conference is, yeah, it's going to be fun, but we know behind the fun, God's going to come in. Behind the fun, behind the glow night. Well, what's glow night? It's a light in the darkness. You know, that's how you relate that. These kids are light in the darkness, you know. Some households are just completely dark, and that kid's supposed to be a glow stick in that household and be the light there. You know, it doesn't matter how dark the room is, these kids are going to be the light. So when they come to this conference, they're not just coming for fun. They think they are, but they're coming for real freedom. They're coming that they're going to experience God's presence, that when they walk in, like, whoa, 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 I didn't expect to come cry today, but you're making me cry. No, buddy, I'm not making you cry. God's touching you. He's breaking this wall down. Like, he's really loving you right now. What you're feeling, you haven't felt in years, maybe. That's why you're crying. You have a wall built up so high that when you come, God's just going to destroy it. You know, and these two nights are going to be nights where teenagers' lives are going to be transformed. They're going to be turned around. Youth conference came is that me and Joseph talked about it. It was big, like, all right, do we take about 15 kids to California or do we impact 150 kids in Arizona?
Right.
Which one do we do? We could take 15 kids and 15 kids are going to come back on fire and they're going to be like, bro, we went to this youth conference, but no one else is going to understand what they're saying. But you impact 150 kids Sunday night, Monday morning. Bro, youth conference was lit. Like, bro, did you check it out? 150 kids went. 150 kids were impacted. 150 kids tell another 150. That's 300 kids that read the gospel, heard the gospel. 300 kids tell one more person. That's 600 people that know about the gospel. All they have to do is tell one, and it multiplies. 15 kids turn into 30, 30 into 60. 150 turns into 300. That's probably as big as Safford. Just the highway, 300 people just impacted right there. The purpose of the youth conference is, of course, have something fun in the summer for the teenagers, but for them to experience Christ, for them to experience true freedom. You know, this is something we talked about, we prayed about. We're like, no, like, God's going to turn up. He's going to turn out. Like, he's going to show up these two nights. And he shows up every Wednesday night, but these two nights are going to be for kids who just want to come for fun. And he's going to attack those kids in a good way. Like, you thought you were here for fun, but you're here because I'm here to give a relationship with you. I'm here to provide you another opportunity that you may have missed. I'm here to show you that there is something greater in your life that you may have not seen. I'm here to show you that I see something greater in you that no one else has ever seen. A lot of these kids just need, like I did in 2012, I just needed someone to believe in me. I needed someone to say and break the statistic that everyone else was saying. A lot of these kids, you're going to end up like your dad. You're going to end up in jail. You're going to end up like your mom or your dad. You're going to OD on drugs. You don't have to follow that path. That path isn't written for you. You're going to end up different than your mom. You're going to end up different than your dad. You're going to be a person that impacts this world. You're going to be a person that moves out of Safford to go impact Chicago, that goes to Miami, that goes to somewhere and continues to spread. You're going to be a person that leads generations. You're going to be a person that's going to be a multimillionaire. And kids are like, no one's ever told me that. Well, I believe that you can. There's someone that believes that you could do more than what the statistic says. You know, statistics say that kids who grow up in a bad home will always end bad. I don't live off statistics. God could do miracles. God could do the impossible. If you believe it and you believe you could do something greater, God will help you do something greater. That is the point of this conference. Joseph, I don't know if you want to add to that or your perspective of the point of this youth conference.
No, I mean, like, you hit it right on, you know what I mean, Jesse? But something that I wanted to add on was, you know, there's a scripture in the Bible where Jesus is talking to his disciples and, you know, he's saying, you know, you're going to do even greater things than I have done.
Right.
Right. And so the purpose, you know, Jesse hit it straight on the nail, you know, the purpose of the conference. But the bigger thing is impacting these teenagers, you know, getting them to really get out of the mindset of, you know, I'm living in this place that's small. I'm having a small mindset. You know, I'm always going to be like mom. I'm always going to be like dad. I'm going to be like uncle, you know? So the purpose of this conference is to impact that person's life, to impact this teenager's life, to get them to realize, no, like exactly what Jesse said, no, you're going to be, you know, that millionaire. No, you're going to be that person. You're going to impact other people. You're going to be able to pray for people. You're going to be able to cast demons out of people. You're going to be able to do these things. Because why? Because Jesus has called us, right, to live a life to be able to do that. Because he says that we could do even greater things than he has done. Why? Because we are filled with the Holy Spirit. Right. We are Holy Spirit driven. We have the Holy Spirit living inside of us to be able to do these things, right? Because Jesus said, you know, he's going to go to heaven, but he's going to send down someone, right, the Holy Spirit, to be able to empower us to do those things. You know, right. We can even see that in the Bible with Peter and the disciples, you know, when they come out from the upper room, you know, teaching to these people who are speaking different languages, right? You know, God is going to give us those gifts, you know, and we have those gifts to be able to preach, to be able to teach, to be able to heal, to cast out devils, because his word says that we're anointed to do those things. And that's what we want these teens to believe, is that they have purpose. They have a, you know, God has a plan for good and not for harm, you know? And right. So when we talk to these teens, it's not just, you know, and of course, you know, this is about fun, you know, like having fun and stuff like that, but it's also to teach them and show them, you know, what their God-given purpose is, you know,
right?
Or that they can do greater things, to teach them that they are going to be able to make an impact, that they can, you know, live a life that is abundant, you know. And so when we talk to teens, you know, it's not just a high and by conversation. It's not just a, oh, let's go hang out type thing. Of course, you know, we include those things, but it's always, you know, what can we pour into these teens? What can we give to them what we were given with our pastors, Pastor Bryant, Pastor Robert, you know, Pastor Marco, you know, our pastors, they poured into us and poured into us. So what can we do is we pour back out. We pour right into this field that God has blessed us with. Because for me personally, is when I'm talking to these teens, because right now in the ministry, you know, I'm over really discipleship groups, training these teens how to start a discipleship group, you know, a discipleship group, a small Bible study where you guys get together every week, you know, when you talk about, you know, highlights, things that you're going through, being able to pray for other teens, right? So when I'm training these teenagers, I'm letting them know, like, hey, this is your guys' field. Of course, you know, I've came from California, Jesse's came from California, you know, we came from California, you know, we were adopted into this field, which is Safford, Solomon, you know, Thatcher, Pima, Central, you know what I mean? So we were adopted into this field, and I let them know that this is your guys' field to be able to pour into. You know, don't just think, you know, this is only for a season. No, this is going to be a time where you're pouring into this field, where you don't have to have the mindset of just going out to Phoenix or Tucson or to California or Florida, you know, around the world. Of course, go out, preach the gospel to all the nations, make disciples of Jesus Christ of all the nations. But we have this field that God has blessed us with to be right able to take care of, you know, and I'd let these teens know, you know, before you even think about, okay, going to Florida or going to all these other places, make sure you're sowing into the field that God has blessed you with okay right now. You know what I mean? Because this is a field where, you know, we have teens who are dealing with depression, suicidal thoughts, self-harm, generational curses of poverty, all these things, right? But God wants to use not only us as adults, as young adults, but these teenagers to be able to cast out those devils, to be able to heal for, to be able to pray for these people who are sick and get them healed, you know, because I've seen personally in my life, you know, where God has used me, you know, to heal people, you know, and it wasn't by Joseph's strength or Joseph's power. I have no power. I have no strength, but it's the Holy Spirit. It's Jesus. Right. And so that's where we're trying to get these teens to see is, you know, stop living the lifestyle of where you're right here. You're stuck at this place, but yeah, you can go to a higher place, you know, that you are, you know, you are called, you know, you are chosen, you know, God has spoke to you, you know, God has formed you in your mother's womb, you know, and we're just giving them biblical principles, teaching them the gospel, teaching them the Bible, you know, because if we're trying to give them human wisdom, it's not going to work. You know, we can't rely on our own wisdom. We can't rely on our own strength. And we just point them back to the cross, pointing them back to the scripture, pointing them back to Jesus. But that's something I just really wanted to share because God has, you know, put that on my heart.
The biggest thing for us, like this youth conference, our mission as a youth ministry is to make disciples of Jesus Christ. That is right. Our mission. You know, yes. The purpose of the youth conference is that, yes, they're going to have fun. They're going to be impacted. They're going to, but the after effect, what's right going to happen? Do you only touch 150 kids for 2 nights and then forget about it? No. Our mission is to get them these 2 nights and experience the power and love of God, where afterwards 150 kids are now being discipled. Well, right. Kids don't know what disciple is. It's being mentored. It's being teachable of what Christ is, of what Jesus did, of his principles, of his love, to love each other, to love your neighbor as you love yourself. And the kids are like, I can't love my neighbor. Well, do you even love yourself first? If I can't love people, I must not love myself or who I am. A big thing with these teenagers is that they're insecure. For guys, I gotta get bigger, I gotta get swoller, God has called you. He has called you. Yeah, take care of yourself, but he has called you not to compare yourself to one another, but to strive to be like God, to strive. Jesus said we're going to do greater things than he has done. And he did a lot of great things for me to do something greater. He's not saying the way you look, you need to do greater. He said you're already going to do greater. Right. This youth conference is to activate a fire that's within them that's been dead. You know, how do fires die? Someone has suffocated the fire. They have covered them so much where their fire died. We're here to take that lid off and reignite it. Holy Spirit is going to go around during conference and just ignite fires. You're going to see teenagers that you never thought. People already have an agenda with certain teens here. Don't talk to that teen. He's a troublemaker. Don't talk to her. She fights. They have an agenda, and they already have a title for certain teenagers. I said, don't let this city give you a title. Allow God to work with you and switch what the city has called you. Right. You're going to walk around. That kid's full of anger, and you're going to see him loving and praying for people. Now, that's only for a week. No, that's permanent. You're going to see these teens transform. What happened? Oh, I went to youth conference. Whoa, youth conference. It's not just for the way Arizona. It's for every single teenager here in the Gila Valley. So for people who think that it's only for the way teens, no. It's for all teenagers, because every church, we're the body of Christ. Right. We're all here together for every single teenager. Doesn't matter what church you attend, your teenager should be at this conference. Your teenager should be wanting, you should want something greater for your teenager. Just as Jesus said, you're supposed to do greater things than I have. As parents and as adults with children or nephews or nieces, we should want our teens to do greater things than what we have. We don't want them, we don't ever want to say, I'm better than my son. We should want our son to be better than us. Our purpose as adults and as parents and as mentors is to train up the young generation to be better than us. We've already been through flaws. We've already been through mistakes. So when we see our kids going through those mistakes, he'll learn, let him learn to mess up. God provided them in our lives so we can help guide them so they don't fall as hard as we have. So when youth conference comes, they're going to hear stories. They're going to hear real stories that what we've been through and how we got through it. I've talked to a lot of kids who've been through rape or molestation, and I could relate to that. So I talk to them about that. I talk to a lot of kids who go through depression or who have suicide, and I relate to that. So I could talk to them about, Mija, I know what you're going through. But at the end of the day, you tried four times and failed. That means God has a greater plan for you, because it is not your time and it is not your life to take. Understand that when you failed at something, it's because God meant it not to happen. This isn't the path you're supposed to go down. So when you have that different perspective on the way God sees your life, your whole world changes. I give everyone this illustration. God gives us two eyes for two perspectives, to look at everything in a bad way or to look at everything in a great way. What is God's way? Well, this friend left my life. No. God dissected them out your life because they did nothing good in your life. So he pulled them away from you because you didn't have the strength to cut off that relationship. My boyfriend broke up with me. No. God broke up that relationship because what he was doing to you wasn't what supposed a relationship should be like. It should be loving. It should be gentle. He was abusing and speaking down to you. God broke that relation up because you couldn't. God is there helping us every step of the way, no matter if we know him or we don't. He is still there helping, right? Our vision for the youth is bringing salvation to the inner cities of this world through the preaching of the gospel. It's to bring salvation by preaching the gospel, just sharing what Jesus did. And that's what this youth conference is about, to get kids on fire, where you're going to see teenagers at Walmart not messing around no more. They're going to be at Walmart speaking the gospel to people. And you're like, security, I need you to get these teens out here. They're preaching in the store. Like, bro, they're just, oh, we're going to buy a Snicker bar. We're here shopping. Like, you're going to see teenagers transform, but it can't just be on Joseph and our team to believe that. We have to have a whole city believe that there is something greater for these teenagers. The city has to believe that these teenagers are going to do something great. We can't blame everything that's happening. Our city is bad because these teenagers are chaotic. Our city is horrible because these teenagers, our city is growing up because these teenagers follow footpaths of their parents. If we see a problem, instead of complaining about the problem, give a solution. Instead of just attacking the problem, help with the solution. Help fix the problem. You know, that's why we came out here, because now that we've seen a problem, but God called us to come and build. God chose Safford, Arizona to be the building point of a new generation, a building point where teens are going to be changed. He chose Safford, Arizona. Of all the places in Arizona, he chose Safford. God chose it because of the impact that's going to be left behind because of the teenagers. I mean, out here, our team is like 20 teenagers high with solid student leaders. 9 in 10 is just student leaders, 20 of them already. I have teenagers come up to, I'm like, oh, you're here on Wednesday. They're like, yeah, I told my coach I'm not going to go to my volleyball game. I told my coach I can't make it to practice Wednesday night. If you want to better me, I have to go to church. Some coaches don't agree with that. But for a student to give up practice or a game to show up to church shows a maturity in their spiritual walk. They're like, there's many more games this season. There's much more practices this season. I'm not playing Wednesday night. And the coaches are understanding with these teenagers because they see a difference in their leadership. We don't just want to pack 20 kids. We want to pack 150 leaders. We want to build a generation where it's 150 student leaders saying, "Coach, yeah, I know you want me to play. I know you want me here. But if you want the best version of me, if you want the best athlete, I got to show up to church on Wednesday night. I got to show up to conference, coach. I got to be there because that's how you're going to get the best me if I have my best relationship with God." You know, so youth conference is going to be huge. If you don't have a teenager but you want to help, sponsor a kid. We had many people. One person sponsored 40, but before that we had $500 in sponsorships. I don't have kids here. I want to sponsor four kids. Here's $100. I don't have a kid. I want to sponsor. Here's 25. But there's adults wanting change in these teenagers' lives, so they're sponsoring. Many people could be that changed by just a sponsorship. Kids can't afford it. 20. We were going to make it $100, but we're like, no. I'm not going to charge something so high that a teenager can't come. $25 pays for your shirt, pays for your food, pays for a great night, pays for some speakers. We'll cover it out of our pocket, but get there. $25, just get here. People are covering people. People are sponsoring people. Last night I seen a teenager pay for another teenager. That's already a change that is happening where teenagers are willing to say, "Well, here's my weekly allowance, but I want to pay for her. I want her to be at conference too." The impact, you already see it. You already see the before effect. The after effect is going to be huge. Youth conference is going to be the biggest thing that happens this summer for youth ministry, for youth, for teenagers in general. It's from 12 to 19 years old. So anybody that we know, anybody that you know, you want to get them there. You want to get them there, right? But youth conference is going to be big, Mike. It's going to be huge.
You know, and there was a lot to take from that, what you guys both shared. And I think what happens too, in not just here, but in other areas is, you know, if you have a kid that's, you know, maybe a little wayward and he or she's been just kind of, you know, they just been that way and the mom and dad or grandma and grandpa can't figure it out. Like, you know, I've tried, I've done this. And then, you know, maybe now they're in church and now they see something. Now they see something shifting. And they, like you said, they're coming home and they're excited. Hey, I don't know what it is, but I need to be there. I need to be at this youth conference. I need to be there on Wednesdays and Sundays. And, you know, I need to be at every event. And, you know, grandma and grandpa might not be at that level yet, you know, on their walk, but they're like, "Well, here's that $25. Here, I see a change in you."
Right.
And I see that a lot in this area. Now you guys mentioned like the sponsorship, and what about food? Are you guys looking for donations with food wise or?
Yeah. So right now what we're doing, that any volunteers right now that want to help serve, but any donation with food too helps. Right now we have a ton of hot dogs that have been already donated. We're having nachos. We're having chili because we want to make sure these kids eat too. It's a long day. Like, especially out here in Arizona, it gets hot. We want to make sure these kids are hydrated. They get fed. So if anybody wants to donate like cases of water, you know, just tons of water, like forget the soda. Soda's going to drain them out. Give them water. You know, water is what's going to keep them hydrated, but it's not just going to be game. It's not just going to be a word in worship. We're going to have some games. We're going to have some fun games. We're going to have some games where like, hey, I want to play this with my friends at school. I want to play this. Like, it's going to be a fun experience, you know, but anything helps. Anybody who wants to sponsor anything is help here. Like, I have some cases of water or I have some time this weekend. I would love to help volunteer. Where do you need me? You know, we do have an Instagram page. If anybody wants to DM us on Instagram, we don't have a Facebook page yet. We need to get one. I know everyone out here has Facebook, so we need to make one of those. But right now we do have an Instagram page, and whenever you want, you could post it up here or however you want to type it. But it's thewayyouth.az, all lowercase. That's our Instagram page. If you have any questions about it, if you have anything you want to, well, what's happening here, who's speaking, what times, any questions, feel free to DM us on that page. We're usually quick to respond to that. You'll see all of our events. We're having more than just youth conference this summer as well. We're having water days. We're having softball tournaments. We're having so much more that's happening this summer, not just the youth conference. Because, again, like you said earlier, the consistency. We don't want just one big event and then, cool, youth is dead all summer. No, we have softball tournaments. We have water days. We have a kickball tournament. We have so much more. But you'll be able to find that on our youth page. Like, we'll be able to provide that on our youth page. But, yeah, any sponsors that want to just donate food, want to donate just money, like, I just here's some money or I want to donate drinks, we'll take anything that helps the youth conference as well.
Great. I mean, that's exactly what I was looking for. So yeah, if you guys want to help, you heard it there. You can donate water. You can donate your time. Like you said, there's nachos. And yeah, I would encourage anybody to go down there. If you can help, give them a hand. And I've been on that Instagram page, and yeah, it's very detailed with what's going on. There's, like you said, the softball, water day, the kickball. So get involved. And I love it. I love the consistency. I think that's what's lacking, not just here in Safford, but in the world. I think if we were a
Right.
little bit more consistent and more methodical, especially in our spiritual life, I think better things would happen. I wanted to leave you guys with some lasting thoughts. For me, again, I appreciate you guys, the both of you. Again, and it's an entire team. That's one thing I love about it. It's an entire team. It's not a one man show. Everybody has a role, and they're just on fire and they're ready to go. So I know I did a lot of work with kids before, at the Boys and Girls Club, and this was something that probably would have been a great option. It's just, again, funneling people towards something a little different and making them think, because I think people get the wrong idea. Sometimes people have been done wrong, so it's always good to look and see and visit. And the other last thing I have, again, it's for everybody. It does not matter what church you go to. Go to the youth conference, okay? There's so many great areas, churches here that are doing great work, but you don't have to just stay in your bubble. Fellowship, get out there and meet other people and see how people are doing things. And that's what's gonna continue to bind people together, is that continuity. So yeah, Joseph and Jesse, my hat's off to you. Thank you guys for being a guest. And if there's anything else that I can do for you, let me know.
Awesome. Yeah, Mike, thank you for having us on here. It was an honor. It was an honor, like, for you to invite us onto the podcast. I mean, it's going to be
Yes.
great. Thank you for taking your time with us, like this, and helping us share this, helping us spread this, because
Right.
every ounce of this be blessed. Just doing something for God's work is going to come with the blessing itself. Like, again, and I love that you said it and you reiterated, but it's for every single teenager here. It's not
Right.
just, oh, you have to be a Christian to go. No, if you don't believe in it, go find out for yourself. If you have any thoughts about it, go find out for yourself. Get your answers there. Like, this is a place you want to be at. This is a place where you will be loved. And that's not just the motto of the church. That's literally what it is. Like, this is a place where you will be loved. No matter how you come in, no matter how you look, you will be loved. There's no judgment
Right.
there, especially from our leaders. Our leaders are just loving each and every single person. But again, thank you, Mike, for having us on. Like, we thank you for taking your time with us, and helping us spread this, helping us get that out there, just promoting our youth, promoting this conference. It's big. Like you said, you see the consistency with the change. You see the change in these teenagers. Like, they go, and parents are like, "Well, what's new with you? Like, well, bro, why are you all happy all of a sudden? You used to be in your room. You're talking to me about God. Like, what happened?" They're like, "Mom, like, I had to. Like, I have teenagers who text me daily, like, pray for my family. I just talked to her about God, but she's still resisting. She's asking me why I'm doing it. I'm like, keep doing it, because now your change, a teenager's change in the family, will change the family. It just takes one. And if you have a brother and sister that come together, oh my gosh, you won't stop them. They're a wrecking ball. They will go through everybody. When you have two best friends who serve the same God, wreck everybody. Because when two or more are gathered, oh, the presence is there. Not saying one can't do it, but when you have more people do it, it's chaos. So when you have 150 teenagers all believe and are already, get ready for change in the Gila Valley. Like, you're not going to stop 150 teens from spreading the gospel. Like, this the point of taking territory for the kingdom of God is to go into territory where it hasn't been built yet. Not saying the kingdom of God is not here, but if you want to take over the whole valley for the kingdom of God, you have to be ready to fight. And that's what we're preparing these teenagers, be ready to fight. It's not a cakewalk. It's not an easy walk to live for God. It's a fight. It's a why do you believe in God? Well, because I have to. Because I want to, because I love to. Well, why don't you just not believe? No, because there is a God. There is a God who sent his son to die on the cross. There is a God who sent his son to die on the cross for my sins, who forgave me already. And so now I repent, and now I live life for him because of his sacrifice. So when you have 150 teenagers talking to you about the same thing, oh, like, you can't shut them up. They're teenagers. they're going to be loud. Teenagers are loud regardless. When they're loud about a purpose, try to stop them. You won't. I could let you know right now, you're not going to stop these teenagers from spreading the gospel, you know? But again, Mike, thank you for having us, bro. Like, it's been awesome.
Yeah. Joseph?
I think the last thing, I would really love to, if we can, Mike, if can we, is it okay if we pray for whoever is going to be watching this, you know, whether it be someone who's not saved, saved for these teens in this valley, is it okay if we just go ahead and just do a quick prayer? Is that fine?
Absolutely.
All right. So we're just going to go ahead and pray. So whoever's watching right now, if you can just bow your head, close your eyes, and just allow the presence of the Lord to just come upon you right now. So Father, we just come before you, Lord, and we just thank you right now, Father, for this time with Mike and Jesse and myself, Lord. We know, Father, that you are not limited, Father, by video call, but Lord, you are an unlimited God. So Lord, we believe, Lord, that you could reach whoever is going to be watching this video. I pray right now, Father, that the presence of God will just come upon them right now. I pray, Lord, that your presence will be infiltrated in their hearts, in their minds, in their homes, Lord. I pray, Father, whoever watches this, Lord, will just have a heart to be able to give, to be able to serve, to be able to donate, Father. And I pray for any teen, Lord, who's looking and searching, Father, and cannot find what they're looking for. I pray, Lord, that you would meet them right where they're at, Father, and that you would transform and change their lives, and that they would come to this youth conference, Lord. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, that we're able to gather together, Father. I ask you just that you would have your way in their families, in their lives, Lord, and that you would impact them, Lord, to repent, to turn around, to change their life, to no longer be lukewarm, but to be on fire and have passion to live out this lifestyle that you call us to live as sons and daughters of Christ, Lord. So, Father, we thank you. We love you, Lord, and we ask you just that you would have your way in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
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 Awesome. Thank you so much, Mike, for having us on, man.
Yeah, no problem. Like I said, you guys are welcome back on any time, and you know, God bless you and keep up the great work.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you.